Welcome back to His Time. It is Monday, June 23rd, 7:45 Central Time. That means it is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners.
How are you doing this week?
Well, actually doing pretty good. I just have a class that starts at 8 o'clock called Genetic Science and Christian Perspective. So we go, for the most part, with the exception of going to chapel at 9:25, we go all morning for 2 weeks. So it's pretty fast and furious, to use the title from, I think, a movie some time ago. So we start off with a lot of the basic stuff in terms of the scriptures and the basics, you know, the authority of scripture, the Bible, the confessions. We get into lots of different things in terms of the challenges that biotechnology brings to Christians today in many and various ways, especially how the Darwinianism is still influencing how things are done in laboratories. I just heard this morning about apparently some lady was accidentally pushed into a swimming pool, broke her back, and was unable to, well, she couldn't have children because of all the medications, so her friend is now going to be the surrogate and carry her child, I guess that's one way to put it. So it's these things continue to manifest themselves, as we say in the Lutheran Church, in many and various ways. So we just have to kind of try and stay on top of these things here at the seminary and do the best we can in terms of helping even myself structure my thinking, theological thinking, and the students and those whom listen to your radio, which is, I think, a powerful message of the gospel. So what I want to bring this morning is actually sort of related to the class, but there's a book out that was written a few years ago by Francis Collins. He's an MD, PhD. He was one of the two men who, with a lot of help, mapped the human genome, which is 6 feet of genetic material put into the nucleus of every body cell. Like a skin cell has maybe 25 microns in diameter or so, with a small nucleus that's maybe 2/10 of that size. And in that is 6 feet of genetic material that God has put there, including what's called a sex chromosome. For men, it would be an XY, and for women, it would be an XX. That's all in one body cell that God has put in there. But what I want to bring, and so this book he wrote called The Language of God, we know what the language of God is, the Bible, you know. Mm-hmm. And but this is what he says in his opening. I wanted to bring this to the attention of your listeners, because there's a lot of discussion these days, especially with gender differentiation on a choice. And here's what he says in one of his opening paragraphs in the introduction about this book called The Language of God. Now, he is, I will say, a theistic evolutionist. He believes God, endowed the Big Bang with all of the information needed to create humans over millions and billions of years. And, of course, we evolved with God. And, of course, Christ came to after Adam and Eve, who actually were part of that evolution from old world monkeys. They sinned, and so God sends Jesus to correct that issue. And so we evolve with Jesus. So that's a very brief and perhaps a bit convoluted explanation of theistic evolution, but I do believe it's one of the issues that need more discussion. Well, here's what he says. This book aims to dispel that notion, that is the notion, by arguing that belief in God can be entirely a rational choice, and that the principles of faith are in fact complementary with the principles of science. And so what he says here is that belief in God can be an entirely rational choice. Now, St. Paul does tell us, you know, let us reason together. But faith doesn't prove things. Faith holds to the words and promises of Jesus. And the Bible is quite clear about this word choice. Your listeners and all of us can look in Deuteronomy 30, where the word choice is used there. Now choose life, because I'm the Lord of life. Now, this isn't an issue of, okay, I'm gonna choose to live eternally with the Lord. That, of course, is contrary to Scripture, because John 15:16 says, "You didn't choose me; I chose you." Joshua 24 says, "Now choose this day whom you will serve." In the Old Testament, the word choice is not a matter of picking and choosing like it is in the world. It's a covenant term. It's a term where God is the subject. So when we say, okay, yeah, I'm going to follow the Lord, that's what my choice. This is, I think, very similar to what happens within the context of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod when a child or a teenager or adult is baptized and then confirmed in the faith, and they reaffirm their faith that was given to them by water word in faith by speaking the apostolic creed. So this, to me, is, as we understand in the Old and New Testament, when we say, yeah, this is my choice, God, I'm going to do this. This is reaffirming what he has already brought into us, and that is faith that holds to the words and promises. So it doesn't seem to me that what he's talking about here, that God is an entirely rational choice, because it certainly flies in the face of what the scriptures have to say, in trying to get us to reconcile science and the theology of the gospel. There's no doubt that Martin Luther says in his commentary on Genesis, which is the most he wrote on any book of the Bible, primarily from his lectures on Genesis, he says, you know, that science is okay, science is fine, and of course we understand that. There's a lot of blessings that come from science in a lot of different ways, the natural and the physical sciences. But he says, unless it agrees with the scriptures, or we have what are called open questions, it's not good science. So whenever we deal with science, I always try and plug science, especially in the area of genetics and the human genome and how God has put us together in creation, this science must agree with the scriptures. And if it doesn't agree with the scriptures, or perhaps we can't find an answer, then we're not going to try and say, well, science takes precedence over the scriptures, because that is not true. And so there are people that say, no, you've got to take the Bible and plug it into science. No, we don't do that. Science, we could say, much like human reason, is a handmaiden of faith. And so that when we say, well, God created the whole universe in 6 days, and on the seventh he rested, and science says, in some cases, of course, those who believe in Darwinian evolution and the Big Bang Theory say, no, this happened over 14.7 billion years ago. We would say, no, that science is not good science. It doesn't agree with the scriptures. And that isn't an issue of choice. And, of course, this whole issue of choice goes into a lot of things we've talked about last week in terms of transgender and all of the issues that are going on in marriage today. In other areas, especially in the area of reproductive technology. So I wanted to bring that that little caveat to to our attention, in terms of that God, you know, choosing God is not rational choice. This is his doing by the gospel, especially the third article, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, sanctifies me, keeps me in the one true faith. So, and clearly that's what the scriptures talk about.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3.
Oh, yes.
Therefore,
verse
I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, precisely. You know, I actually use that a lot, because it really affirms certainly the third article of the creed. And you know what's interesting, Andy? When people tell me, they say, but you know, Pastor Weiss, I decided to follow Jesus. I don't sit back and go, oh, I can't believe you said that. I have to find out what's the context. You know, we listen to people. We hear what they have to say. And what you find out is that they say, well, you know, I've been studying the Bible, and God has given me wisdom, and he's opening the scriptures to me. And pretty soon you find out that what they're saying is reaffirming what they have believed all along.
Mm-hmm.
When you say, well, so you have to, oh, of course, yeah, scriptures are very clear. And what they're doing when they say that, from my viewpoint, of course, and when I visit them and they take adult instruction, they say, well, they're just basically reaffirming what God has already brought into them, and that is the faith of a child that holds to his words and his promises. So the scriptures are clear. I haven't found one person in the scriptures, and I think this is pretty clear from Genesis to Revelation, that apart from the work of the Holy Spirit ever decided to follow Jesus. I just haven't seen that. It's just not there. So that's pretty basic theology.
Yeah, I think when we say things like that, we're probably just giving ourselves too much credit, aren't we?
We do want to take credit. I mean, this is kind of how the world is. We want to pat ourselves on the back, and about the same time we do that, God comes along and points out a sin. So, you know, and that sin crushes us and drives us down into despair, and his gospel lifts us up with the hope of eternal life, much like we heard in the Romans text and the gospel this past weekend. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there you have a good contrast of sin and gospel. And the other one, of course, is if you deny me, I deny you before my Father in heaven, as it says in Matthew 10:33. So I really do believe that we want to continue to encourage all of us, including myself, to continue to search the scriptures. And as the Lord says, and in them you think you have eternal life, and they are then to testify to me, to Jesus. So choosing God as your Savior in Christ is not a rational choice. This is his work and his doing. So I think that Romans 10:17, to quote another one, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. So all of this puts together that Scripture interprets the Scripture, and we have hope in our resurrected Christ.
Well, I know your students are probably eagerly waiting.
Yeah, I'm all set to go, Andy. I mean, we're going to hit some genetics and take a look at the 6 feet of DNA stuff this morning that God has done from a biblical viewpoint on Psalm 139. So it all works out.
Very good. What's the name of that class again?
Called Genetic Science and Christian Perspective.
That sounds intriguing. Well, I'm sure that it'll be an exciting 2 weeks, a 2 week class, is that right?
Yes, sir.
I'm sure it'll be exciting, and look forward to hearing how it goes next week and the following weeks.
You bet.
Thanks so much, Dr. Weston.
To you and your listeners.
To you as well. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Have a great class. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got a study of the daily lectionary. Today, we're going to study with the Reverend John Stenfeld from Christ Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas. We'll talk with him about John chapter 20 this morning. So get out your Bibles and get ready to study with us. We're going to be in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, and we'll take calls and emails as well. So hope you can join us for that as we head down to Texas to study the daily lectionary today. Well, coming up in just a little bit, we've got AP Radio News and the weather and more to start your day with the Word of God in prayer. All part of his time right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.